Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. How are you? Welcome to Thursday's update. If you've missed the news today, here's where we bring you right up to speed. So coming up before 5:30, a Douglas store owner tells us why he's looking to wind down on the range of knives he has for sale. We'll also hear how the Summerland tragedy will be marked this year, why were so many of the petitions presented this year at Tynwald not in order, and the professional boxer Matthew Rennie is hopeful he's in with a shot of another title. We'll have all that, plus keeping up to date with the traffic and the travel and the weather as well, and we'll also keep an eye on anything that's happening coming up with anything really. So that's it. We'll start with the news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Increasing antisocial behaviour on the island has led to a Douglas store owner deciding to stop the sale of knives. Extreme Arts and Gadgets has increased the age limit to only sell to those aged 21 and over until all items are sold. Co-owner Lee Watson says young kids often go into the store looking for a blade.
I'll ask them what for.
Well, protection.
What protection? There's no good going to come of this. I ask them what it's for. And then if I deem them, as I said before, an accident waiting to happen, they're not having one. I don't care.
The Department of Infrastructure has confirmed there was a partial derailment on the Douglas Bay horse trams this afternoon. It occurred as tram 27 was traversing the points at the Villa Marina whilst travelling at very low speed. Services have since resumed in full. A week-long exhibition is set to take place in the Villa Marina Arcade in Douglas to mark 52 years since the Summerland disaster. Starting on the anniversary, it will run from the 2nd to the 9th of August from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Samaritan's Isle of Man is reminding people it will always listen if they need help. The charity is marking its annual Awareness Day today to remind people it's there 24/7. And Isle of Man artists, designers and craftspeople are being invited to play a role in next year's King's Baton Relay ahead of the 2026 Commonwealth Games. Team Isle of Man is inviting submissions to design and decorate the Isle of Man's baton, which will feature in both the relay and the games itself. Further afield, a father has been found guilty of murdering his two-week-old son in a special care baby unit. 27-year-old Daniel Gunter inflicted multiple injuries to Brendan Stadden's head, neck, legs and jaw on a ward at Yeovil Hospital in Somerset. Here's Chief Inspector Nadine Partridge.
The extent of the injuries are nothing I've ever seen before. I think Brendan's little tiny precious body at just 2 weeks old, there wasn't any part of him that wasn't harmed.
The number of people arrested following disorder outside a hotel in Essex that's housing asylum seekers has gone up to 16. And Downing Street says a new trade deal with India will bring £6 billion of investment and more than 2,000 jobs to the UK. They headlines, news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry today with hazy sunshine, and this evening cloud will thicken overnight. Light to moderate northwest winds. They'll back southwest earlier tonight with minimum temperatures of around 13. Tomorrow, it'll be cloudy for much of the day. The risk of a few spots of light rain or drizzle throughout the morning and at first in the afternoon. It will then clear to become dry. Some bright or sunny intervals developing later on tomorrow. Light to moderate southwest winds. They'll veer north or northwest, and top temperatures once again around 19. And then Saturday, dry and bright with sunny spells developing and top temperatures again of around 19. Sunset this evening, 9:31. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 19 minutes past 5.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys, your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes, Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287287.
At Bagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
It's exactly 5:05 and you're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. Now, before we get started, there's just a couple of things to tell you about. Now, we understand there has been a temporary reduction in transmitter power while essential maintenance work has been carried out on the Douglas antennae. We know that this has been affecting reception at the edges of coverage in Douglas, Onchan and the south of the island. It is hoped that that will be fixed by the end of today. So if you've had any problems with your radio, that's what that is about. Also, as Siobhan just mentioned, the DOI has confirmed there was a partial derailment on the Douglas Bay horse trams this afternoon. This was as tram 27 was traversing the points at the Villa Marina while travelling at very low speed as it departed the terminus. The DOI has confirmed to us there were no injuries sustained to any passengers and that the points mechanism has since been inspected and tested and appears now to be in full working order. It adds there's no evidence of obstructions or stones in the tracks as services since resumed in full. And if you head over to our website, there's some news that's just been released by the Office of Fair Trading over here. They've seized hundreds of fake Labubu dolls. Now, these are toys that have been branded potentially dangerous. They've been found in two stores in Douglas. The OFT has launched an investigation after a parent raised concerns about the counterfeit dolls, which pose a choking hazard to children. If you're not familiar with these dolls, they're described as fictional elf-like creatures with a row of jagged teeth. There is a photograph on the website page, but they've reportedly become a viral craze, driving high demand among collectors worldwide. And unfortunately, the OFT says this popularity has created an opportunity for imitation products to flood the market, many of which fail to meet essential safety standards. So if you have any concerns about counterfeit or unsafe goods, then you can contact the OFT. It's 686 500, 686 500. Now, a store owner in Douglas says people under the age of 21 will not be allowed to buy a knife from his shop anymore. Lee Watson is also looking to wind down on the range and ultimately stop selling blades. He's been talking to Chanel.
Well, our hearts have been in our mouths and would hate to think that somebody lost a child or a parent because it was one of our knives. Although statistically, 90% of knife crime is caused by kitchen knives. But there's that 10%. Let's act on our own accord before we're told to do so. You've got to be 21 now to buy a knife in our shop. And we get the children in here. You want to say children, I mean teenagers. And they all want knives. I'll ask them what for.
Well, protection.
What protection? There's no good going to come of this. So first of all, we ask for ID, which is now 21 years of age, moving onwards. Secondly, I ask them what it's for. And then if I deem them like... As I said before, an accident waiting to happen. They're not having one. I don't care. We've got quite an impressive stock line at present. However, we're whittling it down. We're not going to restock. We're going to just let it drop down and drop down. We might have some little multi-tools. You know, the sort of little knives you take out in your mountain bike pack or when you go fishing, etc. But otherwise, the bigger knives, I think that's the end of it now.
You have a vetting process. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, when we see people go towards a knife cabinet, they don't know it, but these big old ears of mine are tuned in. And there's certain buzzwords that I hear. And as soon as I hear the word shank or shaft or when they're playing about, I'm going to stab you with this. I think, God, you're not having one. Straight away. If they come in and I can smell weed, straight away, they're not having one. If I know somebody's got a criminal record, at the end of the day, it is a small island. They're not having one. I had a child in here. When I say child, I think, well, he was 17. He was in here last Thursday and he was after a knife. And I said, hold on a minute. I know you've been inside. He says, no, I haven't. I'm on bail. And with that, straight away, you're not having a knife, even if you were 18 or 21. You're not having a knife because the police will come down, say to me, if you knew that, why did you sell one in the first place? Granted, there's good profit margins in the knives. You know, it's a great revenue stream, but my conscience can't be bought.
That's Lee Watson talking to Chanel there. Well, a police spokesman has said that the constabulary always supports responsible sales and practices by business owners and would remind the public that it will act upon any information relating to the possession of or attempting to purchase anything illegal. It's coming up to 5:10 and on the evening of Saturday the 2nd of August, crowds will gather on Douglas Promenade to mark 52 years since the Summerland disaster. 50 people were killed and many more injured when the leisure centre caught fire in 1973. There'll be two separate memorial events again this year, one at the Kay Gardens and another on the Summerland site itself. Tina Brennan from the Justice for Summerland campaign group will be hosting the latter.
It holds so many memories, it's so evocative, and the people that come along, really, it's quite an emotional thing in a lot of ways for many people. We get people coming from across who come to remember their friends, their relatives, and it's always great that they they want to be there on the site. And I know there's a lot of people that don't want to be there on the site. They remember in their own respectful ways. But for me, it's important that we do gather there on the site for that time. We lay a floral tribute, kindly donated by Elaine's Flowers in Peel. But all we can do is lay that tribute on the dirt. There's nowhere else on that site that reflects this huge, devastating tragedy. 50 people killed, 11 of them were kids, 17 children that night lost both or one parent. This affects people deeply. And those that say, well, it's done, it's dusted, let's just forget about it and move on, you haven't got a clue. It still affects people to this very day. They write to me and say, look, I've only just started talking about this now after all of this time, because they lock it away. And so they suffer from PTSD quite often. And at some point they want to release it, and they chat, and I can put them in touch with people who were there at the same time as them. And they find a lot of comfort in that.
And something that might bring home the reality of it this year, if anyone is down at the memorial, is this wall of faces that's going to be projected. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the wall of faces is kindly sponsored by ELS Group. They're putting in place an LED facility, a huge screen. And we've got faces of bereaved families and friends, people who were there at the time, survivors. A lot of people, as I say, can't be there. And so this is a way that they can still be part of it and still be present.
That is Tina Brennan from the Justice for Summerland campaign group talking to Lewis. The 1 minute silence in commemoration will be held on the Summerland site on the 2nd of August at 7 p.m. The commemoration event hosted by the council will be held simultaneously in the Kay Memorial Gardens. Anyone to planning to attend there is asked to be there by no later than 6:35. It's coming up to 12 minutes past five, and Ramsey commissioners are going to create a housing strategy to set aims and support the development of new social housing and refurbishment programmes. Now, these will be set over 5, 10 and 25 years, which they say will give certainty to current and future tenants about how they'll be funded and maintained. Commissioner Joan McGuinness says it's an opportunity for the local authority to do something for the town, which doesn't just tick a box for the Department of Infrastructure.
Well, I think generally having a clear 5, 10, 25 year plan for our social housing needs is important. We can't build houses overnight. We can't be that reactive. So we need to have a clear plan on an annual review. I think that's very important. And as the DOI have, and central government generally, have given very mixed signals over the past couple of years and have not really been very forthright in coming with ideas or direction themselves, rather than sit and wait for that, let's be proactive and let's make sure Ramsey's got something clear on the agenda.
How important would it be for the commission to have one?
I think it's massively important, because when you've got that clear, like I said, 5, 10, 25 year vision, it brings stability and security to our decision making process, and we can future plan. Just makes every decision we make a lot easier.
The motion mentions that government haven't published one for their social housing stock. Do you think it's inadvertently forcing more responsibilities on local authorities to put the onus on them to create a housing strategy on their own?
Sadly, I think reality across the island will, it'll just create more stagnation and more lack of action. So I want Ramsey to buck the trend and just take ownership of it for the good of the town.
Why have you picked 5, 10 and 25 year goals for the strategy?
So I think the average property sort of development project will be around 5 to 10 years. So my logic is it'll probably take you 5 years from making a decision for something to actually happen. And then you want to be thinking what that next decision is, which is your 10 year plan. And then overarching that, a 25 year plan, you start to get to like the, not necessarily end of life, but certainly where the maintenance and refurbishment schedule for a property would be more important. So being able to identify that and future plan for where properties are going to start failing and need replacing is also important.
Ramsey Commissioner Joan McGuinness talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper. 14 minutes past five, and of the 20 petitions for redress of grievance submitted at this year's Tymwald Day ceremony, only half were in order. Lewis has the details.
Those handing their papers over to politicians in St John's are told in advance of the guidance they have to follow. It's the remit of the Clerk of Tymwald's office to assess whether the petitions are in line with that guidance, and it says a finding that they are either in or out of order doesn't imply that the office agrees or disagrees with the merits of the case. Well, this year, of the 9 submitted by Peel's Trevor Cowan, a regular petitioner at the annual event, 7 weren't in order and 1 has been marked as lapsed because it was first presented before 2021. But one of his, concerning the public speaking scheme, is deemed to be in order. The petition from Alfred Kane concerning the former nurses' home was also found to be not in order because, I quote, it's a complaint against an identified minister. Christopher Pays concerning the proposed 20-mile-per-hour zones wasn't in order, as the office said there was too much overlap between the proposals in the petition and those which were rejected by Tynwald in a recent debate. Meanwhile, those deemed in order include Millie Blenkinsop French's petition concerning a dementia village on the island and George Hargreaves's, which concerned a Manx language film. Others include both of Jenny Quiggin's concerning safeguarding and police complaints, Michael Quine's regarding breathing and breathwork, and David Watts's, which focused on financial assistance to King William's College. As too was Chris Woodrow's petition on judicial independence. Whether they're in order is one thing. Whether any petitions are to be picked up by politicians is yet to be seen.
Lewis Foster reporting.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing on the police pages, which, as we say, is always good news. Looking at the traffic lights and things around the island, in Douglas we know that the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so there are temporary lights there. The filter lanes are out of operation. Also temporary lights on Woodburn Road, that's for the bus stop improvement works there, and a short stretch of Finch Road is closed for sewer work as well. In Baldwin, a stretch of the West Baldwin Road is closed for tree felling, and in Ballasalla there are temporary lights on the St Mark's Road, and that's near the Fildraw Road turn, and that is for gas works. Looking down at the airport, a slight delay on the London Gatwick flight, that's delayed going out until about 7:35. It was due to go at 5 to 7, but at the steam packet, all looking good. The Manxman due into Douglas at around about 5 to 6, heading out for Heysham again at 7:45, and the Monaghan on its way to Liverpool, and it should get there again about 5 to 6, and heading back at 7:15.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's coming up to 17 minutes past 5 and you're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. So the date today is the 24th of the 7th, or 24/7. And that's when The Samaritans is available to anyone who needs a listening ear, every hour of every single day. And every year, the charity marks this Awareness Day in the hope it can prevent suicide by reminding people that they are never alone. Amy Granger is the co-director of the Isle of Man branch, and she's been talking to Amy Griffiths.
We are a listening service, and we offer emotional support to people in crisis or in need of a chat or just feeling a bit down in the dumps. The service is run by volunteers. We have a branch in Douglas.
And it's important to note as well, because I think the Isle of Man is a very small community, and it would be easy to think that if you ever needed to call Samaritans that you might be calling up and speak to somebody you end up knowing, but that's actually not the case. That couldn't happen, could it?
No, that's not the case at all. So when you ring 116 123, it goes through to a central hub, and your call will just get fired out to the next volunteer who is signed in to listen. So you're not going to get your neighbour, and you're not going to get your doctor and stuff like that. It's a big misconception on the island that that is what happens, but no, it's not the case at all.
The volunteers who you're speaking to, they do have to go through fairly rigorous training as well to be able to actually speak to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you apply online and then you will get offered an interview. So you'll come in for an interview and then you'll either get accepted or not. And then you do 6 weeks training, and then you also do online modules. And then after that, you go down into the ops room and take calls with your mentor. So that then happens for another about 6 weeks, so 6 sessions. And then after that, you get probationer status, so you can then be on your own, but you're still paired with your mentor. And then after another 6 weeks, you're a fully fledged volunteer. You're not dealing with everyday stuff. You know, you do get people in dire need of help, and I think it's really important that we do offer that training.
Today is actually Samaritans Awareness Day. So how are you hoping to get the message out about Samaritans and what you do?
Today is 24th of the 7th, so that represents the 24 hours, 7 days a week that our service is available to callers. So just ties in nicely with the date and what we do. It's just an awareness day to make everyone aware that we're here and what we do, and you can call us whenever you feel like you need to talk or get something off your chest.
And that's it as well, because you don't necessarily have to be at absolute crisis point to be able to call Samaritans, do you?
No, so that's another misconception. People quite often call us a suicide hotline, and that's not what we are at all. Our vision is fewer people die by suicide. That's kind of the Samaritans code line, and if you fancy a chat, we'll be here to listen.
If there is anybody listening who does feel like they want to turn to the Samaritans for help, how can they get in touch?
So you can call 116 123 and you can also contact Joe at Samaritans, which is our email.
That is Amy Granger from the Samaritans talking to Amy there. And as she says, if you do ever need to talk to someone, there are trained volunteers at Samaritans always there to listen 24/7. Their number again, 116 123. Or as Amy said, you can email joe@samaritans.org and you can find those details on our Facebook page and on our website as well. Just gone 20 past five. In the past 15 minutes or so, it's been confirmed that the wrestling legend Hulk Hogan has died at the age of 71. His real name was Terry Bollea, and he was one of the biggest professional wrestlers of the 80s and 90s, and he went on to achieve crossover fame as well. He debuted in 1977 and became the defining figure of the industry. So that's Hulk Hogan, who has died at the age of 71. Now, it's hoped relocating higher education students from the nunnery to UCM's main building will improve student and staff well-being. The Education Minister has published more details about the plans to move all classes to Homefield Road ahead of the new academic year, as Sian Cowper reports.
Responding to a series of Tynwald questions for written answer from Onchan MHK Rob Callister, Daphne Kane said the impact of the well-being on staff and students was considered. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture believes locating them on one site will have a positive impact, with less travelling between sites, immediate access to support services and potential interaction at social events. As part of the relocation, a higher education centre will be set up on an existing floor in the main UCM building. It'll be developed over a 2-year period and include a suite of generic classrooms, as well as a newly formed informal learning space. Around 115 degree students will use the centre, with a mix of full-time and part-time attendees. The space, which will house the centre, has previously been used by groups on single academic year courses, so no groups will need to be relocated to accommodate the new facility. The move will increase the occupancy rates at Homefield Road, but Minister Kane says there is currently capacity and the new structure will provide more flexibility.
That is Sian Cowper reporting. 22 minutes exactly past five, and following his latest victory earlier this month, the Isle of Man professional boxer Matthew Rennie is hopeful he's not too far away from a shot at another title. The Manxman is unbeaten so far this calendar year, following his only pro defeat in an English welterweight title contest in London at the end of 2024.
It's been good. I was hoping to actually be fighting for a title the last week. I was wanting that to be a title fight, but for whatever reason, it didn't come off. Whether it was just not being able to find the correct opponent, or they just couldn't get a title on the line. I don't know what the case was, but we're hoping to now push on for a title in September. But it's been a good year, especially after coming off my first defeat, building the blocks again. Got a good tough 6 rounds in July, so now I think I've done them blocks again where I'm ready for a title September, 100%.
You'll naturally want to get back into those positions fighting for titles, but also, do you have to learn a degree of patience sometimes that the opportunity will come about? It might just take a little bit of time.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's just in life in general. Sometimes you have to just stick it out. I don't know if you've ever seen the little photo, but sometimes there's a photo of someone digging, and then there's another one, the two people digging, and one's turning back and one's carrying on digging. And the one turning back is if you kept on digging, you'd hit the gold. So it's one of them. It's just being, you know, consistent with it and staying, like you said, staying patient. And even in that time, you are staying patient as long as you're working, if that makes sense. So you're making every day count, whether, you know, you're just in the gym training, sparring, and you're staying on top of yourself. So you're not just doing nothing while you're waiting for them chances. You're still preparing. And hopefully in about 8 to 9 weeks, I'll be back out in action again, and this time hopefully for a title. So I think the plan is maybe to get one or two before the year. Hopefully one of them two will be a title. That's what I've been promised. Hopefully in the next 7 to 14 days, I'll have an announcement, and it'll be some big news.
What have you learned from that last title fight experience that you could potentially take into something like that, would you say?
I think just doing the 10 rounds, I think that was a big thing that needed ticked off. I know I can do the 10 rounds and I can do them at a very good pace too. Every fight I've had, I've been learning, and I do think I'm at the level now where I should always be in big title fights.
That is Matthew Rennie there talking to Rob, and we wish him all the very best. You'll be able to hear more about that interview, incidentally, on Friday Sport Preview tomorrow. Before we join Rob now for the sports news, just a reminder that we know there has been a temporary reduction in transmitter power today. It's for essential maintenance work that's being carried out on the Douglas antenna. We know it has affected reception at the edges of coverage in Douglas, Onchan and the south of the island, but fingers crossed that should be resolved very soon. Rob, the other sports news this evening.
Indeed. Well, starting off, the Isle of Man men's and ladies basketball teams are competing on the penultimate day of the 2025 Innismon Inter-Island Games. Earlier, the men's squad took their second win of the event with a narrow 72-69 victory over the Falkland Islands. The women's team are back in action right now against the host, Innismon. That match got underway at 4:30 p.m. Well, the tournament, which is also featuring Innismon, Jersey, Guernsey, the Falkland Islands and the Faroe Islands, is running until tomorrow. Elsewhere, Isle of Man triathlete Will Draper has received a second wildcard entry to this year's T100 Triathlon World Tour. The Manxman will contest the fourth round of the series in London on Saturday, the 9th of August. Last month, the former Isle of Man Commonwealth and Ireland Games competitor was also a wildcard in the previous round of the series in Vancouver, Canada, from the 13th to the 15th of June. During that, Draper finished 15th in class and picked up six T100 series points in the process. Meanwhile, several Isle of Man hockey players will take part in a prestigious England hockey tournament this weekend. Six local competitors have been chosen to represent the Northwest Talent Academy in the 2025 Talent Academy Cup, which is being held at Nottingham Hockey Centre from tomorrow until Sunday this week. Ross Grimley, Doug Quayle, Cameron Room and Liam Taverner will be involved in the boys' squad, whilst Ella Blakemore and Evie Watterson will feature in the girls' tournament. Well, all of those players have been involved in an extensive training programme with the Northwest Talent Academy, which began all the way back in October 2024. And the Manx Hockey Association says all of the players and their families have shown tremendous dedication to the setup, adding the tournament promises to showcase some of the finest young hockey talent from across these isles. And finally, in football, Douglas and District has announced changes to its management teams for the upcoming 2025-26 season. Simon Barber has been appointed first team manager, having spent the last 2 years leading the combination side, and will be assisted in his new position by former player Tom Varney. Stepping in to take over the club's combination side will be Glenn Horsfield, following a 2 year spell as the club's Masters team boss. Well, last season, Douglas and District endured a tough season in Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2, failing to win any of their 20 league games and managing just 3 draws as they finished bottom of the table. The combination squad finished 9th out of 12 sides in Ardern and Drugan Limited Combination 2, winning 8 of 22 league contests.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. And as ever, you can keep up to date with the very latest sport and the longer interviews in the sportscast, which you can find at maxradio.com. And do follow the Max Radio Sports page as well. It's where all the results from a lot of the sport that Rob talks about is posted. Just a reminder that the Isle of Man Office of Fair Trading has seized hundreds of fake Labubu dolls. So if your child is into these, it would be worth checking them out. More than 200 of the toys branded potentially dangerous have been found in 2 stores in Douglas. The OFT has launched an investigation. That's after a parent raised concerns about the counterfeit dolls, which pose a choking hazard to children. Head over to the Max Radio website. There's a photograph and more information on there. But that is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's Jacques Lair with Bob Carswell. Greatest Hits with Michelle Kane is then at 6. A Little Light Music with Maurice Powell is at 9. And then Rhianne Evans will be here with you with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Do join Ben with Breakfast from 6 tomorrow. An Update will be back with you at 5.